This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss. Presented by the CIMB Group.
This morning, we are talking to Datuk Paul Kun, the Group Chief Executive Officer of Press Metal Berhad, the listed aluminium producer. Datuk, a very warm welcome to you. And you have come to the grill at a very interesting time because your share price has more than tripled since April. Basically, your net value and your company's net value has risen by a matter of that quantum in just 4 months. The reasons underlying has been multifold. A recovery, a long-awaited recovery in aluminium prices and very positive macro drivers. Can you discuss the update?
Well, basically, I guess this very much to do with the current state of our operation. We had some big interruption last year. We did not have a good year. We did not have a good result. And now that we are fully back in operation, we have this smelters in Sarawak. That is our main business. But now we are back in full operation, and that I think that results helps in that rally. So I guess it's just basically fundamentals.
Well, Dato, last year you must be referring to the power outage. Of course, Sarawak Energy, your primary seller, vendor of power, had an outage at the grid. We'll talk about that in a few minutes.
Right.
But can you give us an update in terms of your capacity utilization, your inventory levels, indeed, as well as your buyers?
Okay, basically, Press Metal is in the business of aluminium. We produce the raw material. In fact, we are the only one in Malaysia producing raw material. And Malaysia, for many, many years, has always been the importers of raw material like aluminium. But aluminium is one of the most available product other than steel, you know, on Earth, and it's used everywhere. So Malaysia has been importing this aluminium for many years, but now, because of the availability of captive power in Sarawak, basically we talk about hydro potential. So we took the opportunity to invest in Sarawak. We built two smelters in Sarawak, and smelters operations are normally in a situation where it has to produce its maximum capacity. So we are basically now producing at full capacity in Sarawak.
Who are some of the buyers of your product?
Basically, aluminium usage are very wide. We produce the raw material, basically a pure ingot, aluminium pure ingot. Basically, the usage is mainly in auto sectors, in transmission lines, in constructions, and basically also in normal electrical goods, you know, TVs and your handphone, basically your iPhone and iPad, they're all made in aluminium. So basically, a lot of this usage everywhere. We send a lot of these products to Korea for automobile industries, for alloy wheel. We send it all the way to Mexico for, you know, alloy wheel sectors there as well. So it's all over the world.
Yeah, but Dato, it hasn't always been this way because the aluminium industry has been going through a decade-long doldrum, in fact, since at least the financial crisis.
Yeah.
And for the first time this year, it's going to be, you're going to witness an aluminium deficit of nearly a million metric tons. So that's for the first time doing wonders to the aluminium industry prices.
Yeah, I guess it helps in a sense to know that aluminium has gone through a down cycle. I think ever since the financial crisis in 2008, the consumptions, the world economy has not been doing that well. And at that time, there were quite a few ramp-ups, especially in the Middle East, which they have planned some years before. So it has been in a surplus for many years. And that's why the aluminium price has been, you know, low for many years. But now if we see the turnaround, beginning end of last year and the beginning of this year, aluminium now basically is in a deficit situation. And I think that the consumption of aluminium, especially in the auto sectors, are very exciting. More and more aluminiums are going into auto sectors and also in many other construction sectors. So basically now from this year onward, we see deficits and that helps the aluminium prices.
How has it come to pass that, you know, basically aluminium is the one asset, or the one raw material that has completely missed the boat in the, you know, 10-year mining boom? And now that the boom is over, it's only now that aluminium prices are recovering. How did it come to pass? How much of a contributing factor was Chinese supply?
Well, basically, China is a nation that uses a lot of metals like aluminium. But basically, they're also a big producer. I will not say that aluminium missed the mining, but it was actually together with all the metal rally. I think at that time we have the nickel, we have the copper, and gold and aluminium. But it's ever since the financial crisis, the whole commodity boom actually has been affected. But China is a big user and also a big producer. But talk about China. Basically, they are a nation where they produce a lot of aluminium, but aluminium are not being encouraged to be exported. Now, aluminium takes a lot of power to produce. And to export aluminium basically is to export power, especially the raw material part. So I guess whatever is produced in China is being used in China. And rest of the world is basically more consolidated. We are talking about the big names like Rio Tinto, BHP Billiton, Alcoa. So basically, it's in this kind of industries that Pressmeta are putting themselves in, where it's a very consolidated industries. We are competing with each other. And today, our metal is actually registered in the RMU as a good high-grade, good Western. Basically, what we produce as a raw material is the same in terms of quality, is accepted by the stockyard of London Metal Exchange. So, you know, basically, it is in this consolidated field that we're competing, not with the Chinese.
Now, of course, aluminium prices did rise by just about 20% in the 14 years since 2000, compared to about 100% for steel and nearly 350% for copper. But you know what? We understand that in terms of your selling prices,
right?
We understand that you're able to sell at a premium of between 30 and 35% over spot prices on the LME. Why is that the case?
Well, I guess it's also very much a fundamental. It's all because of the deficit has come in. For many years, this the exchange is has an LME exchange, but the premium has not been there because it has been there's a normal premium. But from the used to be $50 as a premium for the ingot, and today has gone up to more than $400 per ton. And it's all because it's very hard to get metal. You have to pay premium to get metal. So it's actually the market shortage. Basically, that reflects in the premium.
And how sustainable is this premium?
We believe it has been very sustainable over the last almost 1 year. It has risen from 50 to 200 to 300. Now it's 400, and we are projecting that it's going to go to 500 by next year.
Okay, so of course, aluminium smelters are very expensive. They take a long time to manufacture.
True. Yeah.
Where are you on that particular cycle?
It's a very unique industry where, first of all, it's not only investment, it's a high capex. Each aluminium plant would take about, anywhere between 1 to 3 billion. In the Middle East, they would spend about, 5 billion to build aluminium smelters. And also, not only is the capex, but also you need to secure a big amount of power. This is very important because aluminium uses a lot of power to produce, and you need to secure that. And it's not available in any way in the world, except in those where you have basically resources like Middle East, and we are unique that in a place like Sarawak, it has a very huge potential for hydropower, and it's captive in the sense that you don't have a lot of local demand for this power, so it's a very unique opportunity for Malaysia, to have this kind of industry because of this availability of resources. So you need to have that big amount of power, and you need to have this capex, and it takes about 3 to 5 years in order for any smelters to come out.
Are you fully built at this point in time? Where are you on the capex cycle?
Basically, at this moment, we are fully built and fully operational. And of course, I think because of the potential of this hydropower in Sarawak, we believe the state will continue to build more hydropower, and there will be continue to have more power available for industries. And we think it will be a place where we can realize some growth potential coming.
With us this morning is Dato' Paul Kun, the group CEO of the listed aluminium producer Pressmetal Berhad. After this, Dato', we're going to talk about your outage last year at your power plant.
Sure.
Dato' Paul Kun, the group CEO of Pressmetal Berhad, the listed aluminium producer, with us this morning on The Grill. Dato', you referenced this earlier, the torrid year you had last year because of the power outage. Now, your primary vendor of power is Sarawak Energy, and they, of course, are supplied by Bakun as well as the Maroon Dams. But because of the generator failure, I think perhaps at Bakun, you did not get the power you want, and you wrote off nearly 100 million ringgit in profits last year, and that is of course an ongoing claim against your insurance company. Given the benefits, the vast benefits of hydroelectricity and hydropower, how has it come to pass that last year you had to write off such a huge amount of money from what is essentially a power failure?
Well, I guess it's an unfortunate event. Sarawak is not a big grid when we talk about the grid system, because the whole state actually use not a lot of power. But it's only the beginning stage where you have some generations of power that is huge is coming on stream. So I guess it's the time where they are going through now some transition change. It's unfortunate, but I guess after since the event, the state has a big plan in the project like SCORE. Many investors are coming in, so the state is very concerned about this event. So we had many rounds of meetings and mitigation factors to put in, so that this unfortunate event do not actually happen again. Basically this what being addressed. But it has affected us. Our plant was being affected. We stopped operation for a few months, and that's why we had some very bad result last year. But going forward, I'm sure SCB would have ways to rectify this. And I think you should be hydro is always a very safe way to produce aluminium, produce power. So it's very perfect match for industries. There is a high usage of power. It's much better power generation than the coal and others, because it's very stable, supposed to be very stable.
And of course, your Muka, the smaller Muka plant was impacted, not the larger Samalaju plant. But because it's hydropower and because it's captive and because it's cleaner, it is also supposed to be cheaper than the power that you people pay for on the peninsula. What are the rates that you pay for the power?
Well, I guess the power rate has to be competitive to attract investment. But the unique nature of this power is that it is a agreement that we have, which is a take or pay, which that means if any time in our operation that we want to cut some capacities, we have to pay the full amount of power. So it's a commitment, And because of that commitment, it's just like an anchor tenant for any of this.
It's a 25-year deal.
It's a 25-year deal, yeah.
But what visibility can you share with us in terms of the rate you pay for your power from SCB?
Well, I guess this contract is different for different users. I think end of the day, the users will have to make sure that the power is competitive enough for them to sustain their business. We have to say that we should be more competitive than the high power countries like China. But definitely, we cannot be competing with the Middle East, where they are a very low rate. But we have to be competitive. So I have to say it's not a normal industrial rate. If it is so, we cannot survive. But it's true, it's good thing is that it's 25 years, so we have a firm availability of power for 25 years, and it's very important.
Dato' Paul Koon, the Group CEO of Press Metal Berhad, the listed aluminium producer with us this morning. The 100 million ringgit claimed against the insurance companies, what kind of time frames are we talking about before recovery is fully made?
Well, I guess the process of claim is in place. But the good thing is that we have written it down in our book. It's basically all been written down. I will just leave it to the litigation team to take on this process. I guess it's something that we cannot fully in control. But the good thing is that we put it behind us. We're moving forward.
Now, given last year's financial travails, 2014 and 2015 and 2016 indeed are supposed to be very good years for the company. The analysts at M Research, I think, are forecasting nearly 3.8 million ringgit for revenue from 3.1 a year ago. And of course, they also forecast, that's right, billion ringgit,
all right.
Not million. That would make you very small. And of course, consensus net profit of 272 million ringgit from nothing the year earlier. Are these numbers in the ballpark, Dato?
Well, I guess with the current state of the industry, aluminium price basically now has recovered from the very bottom. I think because of the the deficit in the industry, is a sustainable recovery of aluminium prices. For the first two quarters, even though aluminium prices is not as what it is today, we still able to turn around with some good numbers. I think we probably has a first two quarters announcement, which quite in line. So I guess if the aluminium prices continue to strengthen, yeah, we certainly could deliver, you know, some good numbers this year.
Now, of course, your share price, you know, the chart, it's a bit like Mount Everest. You know, it starts up at the bottom and then it climbs very steeply, and you think it's, you know, Mount Everest or K2. But the whole thing is, right now the share price is around about 55, 60 times earnings. These are, of course, trailing earnings. You know, is your share price fully valued at these levels, or do you think, given some kind of visibility into the second half of the year, these valuations might be justified?
Well, as I said, the first two quarters result was based on aluminium price, which has not really come up to this rally yet. So we believe that aluminium price would sustain this rally. And if this is going to be an ongoing concern, we certainly could deliver better results as we, you know, compared to the first half. So I guess definitely, to me, I look at the upside is still there, because we believe the deficit will continue. You see, for any new smelters to come on stream, it's going to take some years. So we believe this deficit will continue for a while before any new smelters will come, you know, on stream. So, and the growth of aluminium is getting more and more excited, especially in the auto sectors and all that. So we believe we are basically now in the cycle where aluminium will be having a good performance in terms of prices, and that would definitely directly reflect in our bottom line.
The one thing that has been a bit of a stopper on your company financials is the high gearing levels. I think 93% at the end of 2014. That makes you pretty vulnerable when aluminium prices stay depressed. What's the development there?
Well, I guess we have to realize that aluminium is a high capex kind of industries. In fact, for Malaysian companies to be able to realize this kind of industries is not easy. Basically, we say it's a very consolidated industries with big players in the industries. The names of BHP Billiton, Rio Tinto, Alcoa, and these are all big companies, and they can afford to put in billions of dollars for investment. For a Malaysian company like us to get into these industries is not easy. Even though we have spent about more than $1 billion US in the two plants in Sarawak, we get some good support from the local financial institutions. Yes, that actually gets into our debt, you know, and the gearing ratio. But we have some effect. We have some corporate exercise that actually has made us basically, in terms of debt ratio, actually we have brought it down. One of the main corporate exercise that we have just completed this year was that we sold 20% of our stake to our partner Sumitomo. They are big trading companies. They trade a lot of aluminium to all over the world. So we welcome them as our partner. We sold 20% of our stake in this one of the aluminium smelting plant, Bintulu, and that we raised about 500 million ringgit. So that actually, you know, helped to pay down our debts, and I think our debts is in a very reasonable level at this moment.
Well, the sale to Sumitomo, how much of that, or rather, was it purely a financial decision, or does Sumitomo bring more to the table other than money?
We see both. You know, on one hand, I think this sale would help to pay down our debt, but at the same time, we see a good partnership. In fact, they were already in our plant in Muka a few years back. So basically, we have been in a kind of a partnership, and that has been going on quite well.
You also tried your hand in China, but in Hubei, actually, but eventually you decided to pull the plug on that. What happened?
Well, basically, it was a strategic plan. We had this plan in our mind is to build the smelters in Sarawak, but we can't really do it because it takes a lot of technology to do it. We were always a downstream players, and we did not have this technology. So we decided to acquire one of these plants in China. That was in 2005. And that acquisition was mainly with that in mind, that one day we want to build the smelters. And it was true enough that we have to convince the state government that we can make this aluminium smelting business in Sarawak. So we acquired that. It was some good years until lately aluminium price was too low in China, and power was too high, and it became not sustainable. And it's not a big plant. We decided that we should let it go because we already have this big smelting plant in Sarawak.
Well, a couple of interesting ways forward for you guys. You're going to be evaluating your, you know, in the auto industry, for example, with the alloy rims, for example.
Right.
You're also considering perhaps, you know, adding more smelter plants to your current two in Sarawak if more power capacity is available. These are going to be very expensive. What's the visibility there?
Well, I guess as I mentioned just now, there's going to be more power available in Sarawak. They're going to continue to build more hydro. It has got huge hydro potential, and I guess this actually is the area of growth for us. But at the same time, at this moment, we focus on the downstream value added because we believe this is where we can create more value in our product rather than just producing pure aluminium ingot. We can make into alloy wheel ingot, we can make into billets, where we can get another premium of about $200. So that's what we are doing now. We are moving towards that. You know, at the moment, we may be about 20% value added, but we are able, we are planning to move to about 50% value added by next year. Dato, that's how we can create a better margin.
Dato, if I go to YouTube and I type in press metal, I get a whole bunch of results about how there are environmental concerns and hazards at your aluminium smelter plants in Sarawak. People are coughing, they're sleepless, having sleepless nights, kidney problems, other ailments. How are you dealing with these issues? Is it a big concern for you operationally?
No, we have confidence in our operation. The fact basically is a so-called a very misperception about aluminium industries. Today, there are many smelters in the world. They are very close to the cities. One of them, very single out, is the Dubai Aluminium Plant. Opposite Dubai Aluminium Plant is the biggest mall, not only in this Dubai, but probably one of the biggest in the world. And the property in Dubai is actually is one of the highest in the whole world. And right there, there's a big aluminium, you know, plant in the middle of it, which is almost 1 million ton. So it's how you treat your, you know, fume, and it's a treatment system. We have engaged in one of the world best treatment system. And in fact, the emission control is a very stringent level that Malaysian government has adopted. It's very close to the World Bank standard. So we have to adopt to the World Bank standard in terms of emission control. So we have to say that we have been fully complying with all the environmental regulations that is there now in Malaysia. We are confident that it's a plant that we can be very clean. And we believe some of these so-called things that you see on the YouTube, some of it, to us, we believe it is a misconception they don't understand. That's why we have a very open concept. We, in fact, we have invited all the locals to come visit us, and we do all this kind of approach where we try to be as open and make them understand what we are doing. Because it's a misconception that leads to them believing that aluminium is a very environmentally polluting industry, but it's not. You know, today's technology has fully taken care of that. And we are confident that this is one part that we are now fully complying.
Well, Dato, fascinating talking to you, and thank you for spending
thank
time
you.
With us.
Yeah.
That was Dato Paul Kun, the Group CEO of Press Metal Berhad, the listed aluminium producer, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.